Psalms 143 and verse number 5. We're going to start at verse 1. If you'll follow along, I'll read down to verse 5. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Psalms 143 and begin at verse 1. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to my supplication. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath spent my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. Notice verse 5. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'll help us. Wonderful, wonderful, simple formula that can help us so much. Lord, I thank you for including it in the Bible and making it so plain, so clear for us. I pray, dear God, that folks would listen. A lot goes on in a week's time. Lord, as much as we try to, it's just hard to walk in the door on Sunday morning, sit down in a pew, and somehow be able to push out of our mind and out of our hearts all of the things that seem like they clatter for our attention. So we're going to need your help, Holy Spirit. I believe with all my heart that this, what I'm going to teach and preach today, is going to could help everyone in this room. I think maybe for a handful of people, this could be a life-changing. I think maybe for just a hand, maybe a smaller group, this could be the key that unlocks the door to a cage that the devil has locked them in, or it loosens and the chains that have bound them. So I pray, Lord, that you'll help us all be better and benefited, but for some, dear God, that they would be free. And Lord, that they would understand the importance of these three great principles. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 5, if you look down, Psalms 143, verse 5, I remember the days of old, I meditate on all thy works, I muse on the work of thy hands. Well, I'm going to ask you right now, because for about the first 3 or 4 minutes, I need you to just focus on purpose. I need you to push all those distractions away. I need you to hear what I'm going to say at the beginning, or I'm afraid then you're not going to get the rest. Please listen very much on purpose right now. The psalmist describes three different mental exercises that he chooses to engage in. If you'll look at the verses that precede it, he's not in a good place. Seems like there are tough things going on in his life, some negativity. There are people that are actively persecuting him. He's facing some things he doesn't want to face. He wonders if God's hearing him. And verse 4, he's very transparent. Therefore is my soul overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. He's just not in a good place. Come on. I think all of us can say, preacher, I've been there before. I just get to that place. And some of it is from the outward things, and some of it is things within that I'm having a tough time dealing with. But we see in the midst of this psalm, the psalmist, he quiets himself and he gives us a formula. He said, when I get to that place, I know what to do. Now, I know this is Memorial Day, but boy, this is going to be a Memorial Day message, and I think it's going to help you. But this truth isn't just for this weekend. This truth will help you throughout the year. You know what he said? He said, I'm in a place I don't want to be. So you know what it's time to do? Here it is. I remember. I meditate. I muse. Did you see that? I remember. I meditate. I muse. I think this will help everyone here this morning. What does that mean, preacher? Well, let's break it down. Number one, when he says, I remember, it means this. If you look up that word remember, it means to mark as worthy to be remembered. Now, that doesn't mean that he just allows any memory to captivate his attention. When he says, I remember, it means to mark. That word comes from a word that means to mark, or to mark as worthy to be remembered. And then once I've marked it as worthy to be remembered, I'm going to recount it. I'm going to record it. I'm going to play it over in my mind. I want to start out by saying that all memories should not be entertained. all memories are not beneficial to you. Just because something comes into your mind and it's a real memory and it really happened, it doesn't mean that it's worthy. Come on, it shouldn't be marked as worthy to be remembered. So he says, number one, I remember. Number two, I meditate. Now, if you look at that word, it comes from a word that means to murmur in either pleasure or anger. And in this case, of course, in the context, it's talking about in pleasure, to murmur. By implication, what it means is to ponder, to study, to privately interrogate. Okay, so I have a memory that comes and I look at it and I say, is this worthy of my time? Is this worthy to be marked, to be recounted, and to be recorded, and to be thought of once again? If it is, then I'm going to keep it here and I'm going to have a personal conversation with it. I'm going to murmur, and that means you're talking to yourself. You ever heard somebody murmur? And you say, what are you saying? Well, murmuring by design is a type of speech where we really don't want anybody to know what we're saying. We're saying it to ourselves. So meditation is not something we share. Meditation is private. To murmur in pleasure, in other words, there's something, there's a memory, and you know what? That's worthy to be remembered. I'm going to spend some time recounting that. I'm going to record it. But not only that, I'm going to personally interview it. I'm going to have private time with this memory. And I'm going to study it. And I'm going to privately interrogate it. What does that mean? That means I'm going to talk to God about it. And I'm going to talk to myself about it. I'm going to go back over the lessons I learned from it. And I'm going to smile when I think about it. And I'm going to be blessed by it. And so there's a time of personal meditation. Then we read this phrase, I muse. And that means to converse aloud, to utter, to declare, to speak or talk of. Now think about these three things. A memory first comes and it needs to be judged. Well, you have to reach a place of mental maturity and spiritual maturity. And you also have to have the assistance of the Holy Spirit to do this. Well, preacher, I just can't help it. I'm trying not to think about it. I just can't help it. Well, God designed your brain so that you can only think of one thing at a time. You think about that. So, preacher, what if there's a memory that comes that's not worthy to be remembered? Well, then you know what you ought to do. You ought to replace it. If it doesn't pass the test, then discard it and replace it with something worthy of your thinking time. But don't just mull over and recount and one more time record something that's just going to do you nothing but harm and there's no value in it. See, not all memories should be marked as worthy to be remembered. Only record and only recount those memories that pass the worthy test. Because every time you remember something, you deepen the imprint of it upon your mind and upon your conscience. And so when something comes that's not worthy of my time, if I sit there and recount it again, then I deepen the effects of a bad memory. But if I say, wait a minute, I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to push this off to the side because thank you, Lord, for designing my brain in such a way so that I can only think of one thing at a time. So I'm going to busy my mind with something else. Sometimes you can busy your mind with singing. Sometimes you can busy your mind through quoting Bible verses that will help you. Sometimes you can busy your mind with, you know what, I guess I could spend the last half hour recounting that. And I've been down that road how many times? And I know it's at the end of the road. And by the time I get to the end of the road on that memory, all I do is set in despair. So why am I going to walk that path one more time? See, folks, not any of us can help maybe the first two or three steps down the road because sometimes these thoughts come involuntarily. But wait a minute, when we realize the direction we're going, we've got to say stop. How many times have I been down there? How many times do I know what's waiting for me? How many times am I going to spend another day with the devil getting the victory in my life? Nope. There's so many things that I could be thinking of. There's so many things I could be thankful for. There's so many things that I could begin to plan and work on so that I can have positive things happen in my life so that I have future memories that are good. I'm not going down this road again. And you just say, I'm sorry, memory. You're out of here. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. Okay, so first of all, not all memories should be marked as worthy to be remembered. Now, once a memory proves worthy to be remembered, then meditate upon it. Ponder it. Those are good things. What's Memorial Day all about? I'm going to get to it. Ponder it. Study it. By the way, this is private. Interrogate the memory. Ask it questions. Ask yourself questions. Ask God questions. That's okay. Squeeze every good lesson from it that you can. Learn it. Learn it. Even if the lessons are painful, don't fail to learn from them. Some memories will never go any farther than this. They'll never get to the muse. And some things are never supposed to get to the muse. There's some memories that I have that minister to me. But you know what? They're private. I don't share them with anybody else. They never reach the musing level. It's just something between me and God. It's just something that, I'm sorry, I want to keep for me. Something that I need. Something that I have. There's certain things that I, you ever see somebody, you can tell they're thinking, and they smile. And have you ever said, what are you thinking about? And they say what? Nothing. And then if it's a woman asking you, good luck, because she's not going to quit, you know, so make something up, guys, okay? But, you know what they're saying when they say nothing? They're saying something that's for me. You know, that's okay. That's okay. There's some memories that I have that I know the Lord did between me and him. And you know what? I'm sorry, but I want him to... Can I keep some things? I mean, I tell almost everything from the pulpit, okay, that goes on in my life. And one thing about being a preacher is I'll do some of the dumbest things sometime, and then I'll say, I will never tell anybody I did that stupid thing. And then the next sermon, I'll get up and I'll say, you know what happened the other day? You're not going to believe this. And you know, I think when you have not a whole lot of private life, the little things you do have, you kind of cherish them and hold them back and just say, what are you thinking of, preacher? I see you smile. Just, well, nothing. That's really something. But it's for me and the Lord. Okay? Now, you don't memorialize those. You don't build a monument to them. They're not public. They're private. And you know what? That's okay. But he didn't say, I will just remember. And he didn't say, I will just meditate. You know what he then says? He says, I muse. That means to converse with oneself. Allowed to utter, to declare, to speak, to talk of. Some of those meditations should be allowed to graduate to musings. Think about this. Meditations are private, but thoughts, but musings are public utterances. To muse means to declare, to speak, or to talk of. Okay, you're not murmuring in a language that can't be understood that's between you and the Lord. You're speaking it out for the benefit of somebody that needs to hear it. It's a memory and a meditation that you put into words. By the way, even those private meditations that you have, sometimes there is a moment, an instant, where you're trying to help someone. And the Lord says, it's time to share that. Because they need it. Have you ever said to somebody that you were trying to help, I'm going to tell you something I've never told anyone. And you know what I've done? I've taken a private meditation, something that happened in my life that God did for me that I needed some help, something, but it's just, I'm sorry, this needs to be gifted to this person. Sometimes you'll say, now, if I share this with you, it's me, between me and you. And you'll take a meditation. Come on, husband, you've done that with your wife. You've shared things with your wife you wouldn't share with anybody else. Wife, sometimes you've done that with your husband. Sometimes as a parent, you see a teenager struggling, they're going through a tough time, one of your kids, and you've tried this and you've tried that, and finally you say, get in the truck. Let's go around the block. You park somewhere and say, okay, I'm going to tell you something, something you need to hear. Because, you know, they don't think you've ever faced anything like what they're facing. They don't think that you've never had to overcome something that maybe they're struggling with. Sometimes you just take those meditations, those precious little private victories, and you say, I know what you're feeling. No, you don't. Oh, yeah, let's take a walk. And perhaps sometime, you know what? Some of you ladies, you have very private things that have happened in your life. And you know what? They're a memory, and they are worth remembering because there is some positives in it for you. And they're a meditation, but somewhere along the line, there's going to be another young lady another lady that maybe you're going to need to say, let's go out for a cup of coffee. And God allows you to take occasionally one of those private jewels and share it with somebody and see that it has incredible value in their life. And sometimes it can change their life because they think, I'm all alone. Nobody's ever faced it. I don't know what to do with it. I can't overcome it. And they look at you and they're like, you mean you? What? Yeah. But let me tell you how good God is. Let me tell you the grace. And let me tell you the Bible verses. And let me tell you how I got on the victory side. But some of those things, a lot of those memories that come to my mind are good memories, and they minister to my heart, and they're worthy to be remembered and recounted and recorded. And so I spend time, and then I meditate on them privately, and I get good benefit from that. But I'm sorry, they're just too good to keep private. They have too broad of an application. They can help too many people. And by the way, some memories are worth building a memorial to. They're worth building a memorial to. You remember when Joshua led the children of Israel over the Jordan River? God said, this is such an amazing event. I want every generation to remember this. So you send one man from each tribe back into the middle of that dry riverbed. Just a little while ago, there was water there, but now you came across on dry ground. Each of you get a large rock, and you get as big a rock as you can possibly carry. And you know what? They came up and they stacked those 12 stones together. And he said, what is that? It's a memorial. Because in the future, your children's going to say, what are those 12 stones for? Who stacked them there? What does it mean? And you're going to be able to stop and say, let me share a memory with you. And you know, I think some memories ought to be not only remembered and not only meditated upon, but mused upon. To muse means to declare, to speak of, or to talk of. It is a memory and a meditation that you put into words. It's the story version of your remembrances. These things not only have helped you, but the sharing of them helped those around you. Some of these are from your life. Some of these are from people that have touched your life. These are the most precious memories, I think, because they will outlive you. Say, preacher, I like having those private ones, and that's fine, and God gives you those. But you know, when you die, they'll die with you. But there's some things that ought to be memorialized. There's some things that ought to be passed down and shared. What is Memorial Day all about? Well, stay with me. These are the memories. I'm talking about those musings. These are the memories that God will let you pass on, the ones that not only molded your life, but will be used by you to help mold other lives. A memory that's worthy to be marked, worthy to be pondered privately, and then worthy to be spoken of publicly is no longer a memory, but instead becomes a memorial. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. It's a day to memorialize past events that are muse-worthy, to memorialize those whose lives contain events worth remembering, worth pondering, worth passing down. I guess maybe the songwriter captured those things perfectly when he wrote the song Precious Memories. I love that song. I wish Sister Carol Altizer was here. I'd have her come up and sing it. Here's the words. Precious memories. Unseen angels. Come on, you think about that. Been there? Precious memories. Unseen angels. I went out with Tabitha when she was here. And I said, I'm going to change the flowers on Grandma and Grandpa Ross's tombstone. You want to come with me? That was 2 weeks before Memorial Day. Say, why did you buy them early? Because I was hoping she'd say yes. You know why? Because sometimes it's good to have the next generation stand beside you. And we didn't go just to change flowers. Come on, you've had these times. Say, preacher, do you go by yourself sometimes? Yep, I go by myself sometimes. And you know what? I meditate. But sometimes I need to take the kids. Come on. Sometimes I need to take the grandkids. You know why? Because there's some musings that they need to hear, some stories that I need to pass on, some things that are so profound and had such an impact on my life that it's not there just to impact my life. It's there so that I can impact other lives, so that these things can be passed on. Think about the words. Think about what me and Tabitha experienced right there when I said precious memories. Unseen angels. Come on, have you had those moments where you feel like that the veil between the invisible and the visible just gets really thin? precious memories, unseen angels sent from somewhere to my soul. How they linger ever near me, and the sacred past unfolds. Oh, I want you to monopolize on this weekend. There's some things, come on, I'm talking about those of you that are close to my age and older. There's some things that you're carrying that if you don't memorialize, it's going to be lost to your children, lost to your grandchildren. Come on, mom and dad. Some of you lost grandpas and grandmas maybe recently, you know, and maybe you're a younger couple, but you lost a grandpa or grandma. And you say, well, the kids are still pretty young, but there's still that opportunity to say, hey, come in the room, I want to show you something. And maybe in a box somewhere where you keep things that help you to remember, come on, and meditate and memorialize. Sometimes you need to just hand a kid something. Say, you know what that is? No. Turn it over. Take a look at it. That belonged to your grandpa. That belonged to your great-grandpa. Let me tell you the story about the day he gave that to me. And then after you get done, you take it back from him and said, now you're young. But one of these days, we're going to come in here and I'm going to tell the story again, and then it's going to be yours. But I don't want you to just have this. I want you to have the story. I want you to have the story. Precious memories, unseen angels sent from somewhere to my soul. Sometimes I think, where did that come from? How they linger, ever near me, and the sacred past unfolds. Precious father, loving mother, fly across the lonely years, and old home scenes of my childhood and fond memory appears. I love verse 3. I remember mother praying, father too on bended knee. The sun is sinking, shadows falling, but their prayers still follow me. And you know the chorus. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. You know, David was saying, first four verses, he said, and I'm falling apart, I'm a mess. I'm being attacked from everywhere, I'm overwhelmed, I don't know what to do, I'm losing my mind. Well, what do you do, David? What do you do? He said, I remember. Then I meditate. Then I memorialize. I muse. Let me give you a few suggestions. We won't be here long. You know what? Salvation memories are memorial worthy. Salvation memories are precious memories. Psalms 49, 6 through 8. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for himself. For the redemption of their soul is precious. See what that said? The redemption of, it said, you know what? I don't care how much money you have. The one thing you can't do is you can't buy salvation. Can't buy it for your brother. Can't buy it for yourself. But you know what? The redemption of your soul, that's precious. A precious memory is your salvation experience. Well, there's some things it's just private I don't talk about. Well, that's something you need to talk about. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Nothing sadder in the world than going to a funeral and having to ask this question as a preacher to the family. Now, tell me about your grandma and grandpa. Do you know for sure that they were saved? Well, I don't know. That's something they never talked about. Listen, if you're saved, tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it. Say, why in the world, preacher, can you get up and you can repeat all of the details of the day that your father got saved? It's because when I was 5, I paid a lot of attention to what was going on around me. No, I wouldn't know it. If it was up to Jerry Ross's memory, you know what? It'd all be gone. But you know why I know it? You know why I can tell you the details of it? Because over and over and over again, my daddy told me about the day he got saved. And he told it to me so many times that it went from a memory to a meditation to a musing. It became a memorial in my life. And even though I can't remember, I can see it so clear, not because of my memory, but because of his story. I can see the details. And I like to tell it. And you know what I did? I've taken that. Come on. I've taken that musing. I've taken that memorial that he handed to me. And he's gone and he can't tell it anymore. But guess who's still telling about the fifth day of the revival meeting on a Friday night? When my dad said, got it on Thursday night, if you'll let me get back to church on Friday night. How do I know that he turned around and dropped that song? Because he told me he did. How do you know that your daddy's saved? Because he told me about it. He told me how God worked on his heart. Listen, memorialize your salvation experience. Share it over and over and over and over again. Tell people how you got saved. Tell your children that you're saved and how you got saved. Tell your grandchildren how you're saved and what happened. And every moment you say, preacher, I wish I could, and I'm not, then get saved today. And you'll have a new story to tell. You'll have a new story to tell. I like this. The Bible says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Think about that. You know, you can tell your salvation story, but that's not the only salvation story I can tell. One of the great things about being a soul winner and just going out there and planting the precious seed is that, you know what? I got to be there. Folks, I've gotten to be there hundreds of times to watch somebody receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you know what I do? I always sit there and I memorialize that. I'll from time to time get up and share one of those musings in a sermon. And you know what? It's good to talk about the day that you got saved. And it's good to be able to talk about people that you've led to Christ, because I think every salvation ought to be memorialized. Those of you that are winning people to Christ, maybe on your bus, let me tell you, one of the things that you can do to help in that process is every single person that I lead to the Lord, I tell them, if you'll come to church, I'm going to give you a Bible. And you know what? I want to give you this Bible because I want to open it up and I want to write your name in it. And I want to write the day that you got saved in it. And I want you to have the forever memory of that so that they can have that triggered in their minds. You know what? You can tell the story, not only of when you got saved, but tell the story of when other people got saved. Share it, share it, share it. Hey, in family devotions from time to time, get everybody around the table and say, tonight, you know what we're going to do? I'm going to start and Mama's going to go next. But I'm going to tell you about the day that I got saved. And then Mama's going to tell about the day that she got saved. And then we're going to start with the oldest and we're going to work on down. And I want you to just share it. Just say it. Just share it. I mean, to have the memory of that. And not just one time, 3 or 4 months later, say, hey, you know what we're going to do tonight? Daddy's going to tell about the day he got saved. And Mama's going to go next. And then each of you are going to go next. What's the preacher? I'm going to get down to one maybe hasn't been saved yet. Yeah, but they're listening to how y'all got saved. And you know what? They're going to sit there and they're going to listen. They're going to ponder that. It may be as you get down to the end and you know where the cutoff is, you can say as the dad, let's gather together and pray. And you can pray and thank God for the kids that have gotten saved and for your salvation or Mama's salvation. You can say a prayer for the ones that haven't received Christ yet, that God would open their understanding in good time. You know what, folks? That's a good thing. You know, wouldn't it be neat later on? Come on, it's your funeral. For your daughter to sit there and say, Dad, we do this about every 3 or 4 months. Seems like 2 or 3, 4 times a year. We get in a family circle. And he'd talk about how he got saved. And I could tell you this story. I've heard it so many times. I could tell you where he was and how old he was and who he was with and the sermon and the circumstances and who dealt with them. And I can tell it. You know why? Because I've heard it over and over and over again. Salvation memories are precious memories. Let me share something else with you. Precious lives create precious memories. I'm going to take you to an unusual portion of Scripture. I'm going to warn you before I take you there. If you glance at the context, you're going to say, why are we here? Proverbs chapter 6. Would you turn there with me? Proverbs chapter number 6. Now, put your seatbelt on. You're going to want to argue with the preacher, but I'm just going to tell you now, I'm right about this. So hear me out, all right? Talk about being conditioned by the culture. We're going to test you out a little bit. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 26, chapter 6, verse number 26. The scripture starts, this portion kind of begins in verse number 20 when the father is telling his son the importance of the commandments of God and the law of his mother and how he should bind them upon his heart and how they will protect him. And then he begins to warn him about the strange woman, verse number 24. And he says that these commandments, this light, these reproofs, these instructions of the way of life will keep him from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a strange woman. Lust not at, verse 25, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Neither let her take thee with thy eyelids. Look at verse 26. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Now, let's look at the last part of this verse. And the adulteress will hunt for thee what? Let's ponder that a minute. All right, let's meditate on that a minute. So an adulterous woman, a whorish woman, you know what she considers a great prize? To find, to hunt for, and to destroy a, what again? What was it? A precious life. Wow. Precious there means valuable. Means costly, it means excellent, it means honorable, it means precious, it means of good reputation. Their lives, the way they live their lives, and because of the way they are living their life, it's of great value. By the way, they're not a dime a dozen. The Bible says in this verse that she has to hunt for the precious life. So is there a part of you already that's wanting to kind of rise up and say, but I thought all lives were precious? Well, that's up to you. That's up to you. There are events and stories of some people's lives that deserve to be remembered, meditated upon, mused aloud. Take those stories and events and share them and pass them on to others. There's nothing that produces more precious memories than a person that chooses to live a precious life. Now, every soul, this is where I'm going to help you. Every soul mattered enough to God to send his son Jesus Christ to die for that soul. But there's a difference between the value of a soul and the value of a life lived. The value of the soul is determined by God. The value of your life is determined by how you live it. You say, well, preacher, I don't know. I still don't know if I agree with that. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Hey, I like we're using our Bibles this morning. Look at this. You know, seven of you are anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And if you'll notice in verse number 11, okay, how do you know there's only seven? Well, I can tell by the amount of pages being rustled. Some of you have already fallen asleep. And you're probably not getting much, but that's okay. The rest of us will do good. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11. Well, preacher, I thought all lives matter. I read it on a sign. Can matter. I mean, there's lives that are lived that really didn't matter. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at verse 11. Another foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What day? That's judgment day, folks. Because it shall be revealed by what? Fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet is so by fire. I just want to point out the end of that verse before I go any farther. This is not talking about standing before God and deciding whether or not you're saved or not, or going to heaven or not, by what you've done, by the works that you've done. This is the judgment for the saved. Okay? You know, folks, in the end, Christ will determine whether or not your life mattered or not on judgment day. If your works, if they truly mattered, you know what? They will endure the fire of his eyes. I think all that's going to happen is Jesus is going to look upon them. And those eyes that are flames of fire is going to judge them. They will prove out to be gold, silver, and precious stone. If they didn't matter, if they are wood, hay, and stubble, they'll be reduced to ashes on judgment day. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying this. A precious life produces precious memories. A precious life. The adulteress, the devil says, I'm going to take a whorish woman, an adulterous woman. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have her target the people whose lives are being lived in such a way that brings glory to God and means something for eternity. And by the way, that ought to be a warning to every man in this room. If you are serving God and your life is making a difference. I promise you the devil sooner or later is going to send a strange woman to try to destroy your reputation. You better stay on high alert. Okay? But the devil says, I'm not going to waste this woman just on anybody. She can have any of these other lives that don't matter. She can have them anytime. I'm going to turn her loose and I'm going to try to have her target the lives that matter. The precious life. The life that is producing things that are going to be rewarded in eternity. The life that's not just caught up in the temporal, but really are trying to make a difference for Jesus Christ. Think about how sad to get to the judgment seat only to find out that you lived your life in a way that did not matter in eternity. I want to just say this to the whole world. Stop telling the world your life matters and start proving to God every day that your life matters. Carrying a sign declaring to the world that your life matters doesn't make it matter. When you put the sign down, it's your integrity, it's your honesty, your compassion, your sacrifice, your hard work, your service, your generosity, your selflessness, your humility, your holiness, your respect and obedience to the principles and precepts of the Bible. These are the gold and silver and precious stones that make a difference on earth and will endure the test of fire in heaven. That's what will make a life that matters. Amen. Ultimately, your decisions either increase the value of your existence or decreases the value of your existence. Preacher, what are we talking about? I haven't lost where we're going. Precious memories. There's people that I love dear. I mean, I love dear because they're family. But you know what? The precious memories that they left me are very few. Doesn't diminish my love for them. But they didn't give me a whole lot of precious memories. Not the things that will endure at the judgment seat. Come on. What I'm challenging you that are still alive is, hey, leave precious memories. Live the kind of life that matters for eternity. All of our life's work will one day be tested by fire. I think that's why my father always said to me and to you, live your life with one eye on the judgment seat. Having said all that, this weekend, I want to again encourage you, memorialize the stories and events of those who are now gone, but who had lived precious lives while they're here on earth. Nobody lives a perfect life. It doesn't mean that everything they said and everything they did ought to be remembered, but it sure is good to be able to have somebody say, tell me about your dad. And I'd say, sit down. Have you got 3 hours? Because I have memories that have graduated to meditations that need to be memorialized in the musings because they're muse worthy. They're muse worthy. Precious lives. Precious lives. Godly lives. Create precious memories. Share the stories about your loved ones that illustrate godly character, that illustrate sacrifice and service, that illustrate holiness and righteousness. I couldn't help but think about a lady in the book of Acts by the name of Tabitha. The Bible says this woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, who when they had washed and laid her in an upper chamber, and forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent to him 2 men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. You know the story, those of you that know the Bible. It says, when he was come, here comes the preacher, when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas, Tabitha, whose name was called Dorcas made while she was with them. Come on. You know, I understand it may not be an actual garment. I know it might not be an actual coat. You might not even know how to turn on a sewing machine. But at your funeral, there ought to be a bunch of people there that said their life was precious. Can I share with you a precious memory? Can I take a meditation and turn it for the first time to a musing? There's some things that I remember that I have a hard time sharing. Some things I have to let distance grow before I can share. And enough distance has come. Decades have passed. No one here is going to be able to know who, so don't speculate. You're going to be wrong. This is not a person that normally attended the church that I pastored at that time. This was a call that I got from the funeral home looking for a preacher. From time to time that happens, Brother James, from time to time they're just going to call you up and say this family didn't have church affiliation, they don't know any preacher. Go down to the funeral homes and get on that list. Because I've shown up to a family and been able to comfort a family that I've never met before and preach a funeral message the next day to people I've never seen before and see people come to Christ. So, brother, if someone's going to preach that funeral, I'd just soon be somebody that's going to share the gospel. Amen. So I went to the viewing that night. Very cold, very standoffish, tension in the air. Not very many people showed up, mostly just family. Didn't know the elderly man. Tried to talk to his wife, and I always do this if I don't know somebody. I'll say, share with me your best memory. Because what I'm doing is I'm trying, if I don't know someone, I still want to talk about them personally, and so I tell about them to the stories that I hear. Are you listening to me? So as a preacher, I'm going around to the 8, 9, 12 people maybe that were there. I don't remember. But I went to almost everyone. Every one of them. Were you related? Is this a friend? Is this family? Tell me your best memory. Tell me your best memory. Tell me your best memory. I got through about 5 of them. And all I would get is blank stares. Sometimes they just turned away in anger. Sometimes they just looked down and shake their head. Finally, the man's son came over and realized what I was doing and said, preacher, can I talk to you privately? And I said, sure. We went to a separate room and he said, I hear the question you've been asking. And he said this, and I can't tell you everything he said. I think you'll understand why. But he said, we're here because my dad was family. And he just looked at me and he said, preacher, he was a selfish, nasty, mean, and I can't say the rest of it. And we're here to see that he gets buried. But you can stop asking that question because nobody has what you're looking for. Whew. Nobody has what you're looking for. Not a precious memory. Not one precious memory. I looked at him. I didn't know what to say. Hey, what'd you do? How do you preach? By the way, want to trade places with me? You preach that funeral the next day. You preach that funeral the next day. Hey, preacher, I mean, what good news could you give them? I could tell them about Jesus. Amen. I just got up and pled ignorance, man. You know what? I've been called by the funeral home. I know that, except for the few minutes I talked to a few of you, that I don't really know your family, and I can't honestly say a whole lot personally about the gentleman that's here. But you're here, so let's me and you talk. Let me tell you about the greatest day that ever happened to me, the thing that changed my family and changed my life. 9, 10, 11, I don't know how many was at the funeral that day. But you know what? Every single one of them raised their hand acknowledging that they received Jesus Christ as their Savior. That day. Woo! You know, God can take a mess and turn it into a miracle. Woo! I wanted to run back. You went to the church at that time. I wanted to run back and tell that story. And I said, I can't tell that story. Too many people in the community know. Too many people know the family. Just tuck it away. But every once in a while, see, I pull it out. It was just something I had. And I said, God, please, I don't want to live that kind of life. Come on, I want to help some of you. You're saved, but man, you're so full of selfishness. Your life's so much about you. You're so focused on temporal things, pleasures. You're a lover of pleasure instead of a lover of God. If you were honest and it was a contest between God and pleasure wins in your life. What are you doing? I know you're having a lot of fun, or you're trying to, but what is all of that really trying to fill? And is it doing it? Is it working? You know, think about that. the preacher, what precious memories do you have? Well, I finished section 5 yesterday. I made the last visit. It was Jeff Scales' house. And I only went there because all the neighbors around were telling me, boy, if you're looking for someone that maybe needs Jesus, you go to that house over there. That's the biggest mess over there. So I pull in, I jumped out, and I said, I hear that you're the biggest mess. All the neighbors tell me to come. He said, no, that's the old woman that lives down the lane behind us. I was too scared. I didn't show up, did I? I didn't go down there. I ain't going down there. I'm not signing up for that one. Sister Bonnie came to me on Easter Sunday, and she said, I want to thank you. I said, for what? And she said, because several years ago on an Easter, we had to call you, and you left your family on an Easter Sunday, and you went over because Daddy was dying. Can I give you the last thought? Here it is. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. You want precious memories? It's just not the life of those who have gone before you. You know, even when it comes to a Christian, the death memories are precious memories. And I sat there and I thought about that after you talked and after you walked away. And I thought, boy, I miss Brother Dallas. On section 5, your mom and dad's place is in section 5. So I went by there. Nobody was home. And I just set the driveway. And you know what I could do? I set that driveway and I could picture them out on that back deck. And I told you the story, didn't I? I finally went public with the story about the time that we were supposed to go over and eat with them. And I'm not going to retell that. That's probably one of those memories I need to put over here. But they invited our family. I got to now. You're all looking at me like, really? I mean, Maxine and Dallas Moore are the sweetest people God ever created. And they invited us to eat, to go over for a meal. And they did it several weeks before. And the night came and we forgot about it. Not only had we forgot about it, but my wife, she does this on non-Thanksgiving days about once or twice a year. I'll come home from work and she's decided she's going to bake a turkey and have dressing. I mean, we have a Thanksgiving meal, only it's not Thanksgiving. And she made that, and we all got her. And come on, how many of you guys are for that? That's a great idea. All right, all in favor, raise your right hand. All opposed, carried unanimously. Come on, women, get with it. And I came home, and the girls were all excited. We got around the table, and it was just like Thanksgiving, where you are eating beyond the capacity of your body to really handle it, but you don't care. It is so good. You are just going to commit gluttony and then get right with God later, amen? I mean, you don't walk away from the table. You roll out of the chair and crawl to your recliner. And it was on. And I remember leaning back in my recliner and I'm moaning. And the girls are laying on the ground. And, you know, all of that turkey. What's the stuff in the turkey that starts, you know, making you go fuzzy? And all this is going on. And the phone rings. And I go, hello. And it's Brother Dallas. And he's like, hey, they just oiled my road. And I'm like, why is he telling me they oiled his road? I'm like, okay. And he said, well, I knew you'd all be coming for dinner tonight. I just wanted to let you know to not come that way. And I sat up in my recliner. I said, okay. And I'm looking at the clock. Yeah, thank you. I wouldn't want to get oil all over. We'll see in a little bit. And I look around and I'm like, honey, what? We're supposed to go to Dallas and Maxine's tonight for dinner. And the girls are like, Dad, I can't. We've got to. I can't. I can't eat another. We've got to. Everybody get up. Walk around the house. Let's go. Let's go. Jumping jacks. I'm going to puke. We went and got in the car. We raced over there. We walked up the deck on the deck. And they got it out there. We ate out on the deck. And she just shows up with all this food. And we're just looking at each other. Say, what are you doing? I'm sitting in a driveway. And I'm remembering. And I'm looking around the yard. I remember how many times they loved having the whole church come over. They'd say to my dad, can we have the whole church over our house? Can we have the teenagers over our house? And man, I could sit there and remember that whole place being packed out. Food everywhere and kids running every direction. And teenagers sneaking in the corn and kissing and coming back and all. No, that didn't happen. It didn't happen, did it? I'm going to look at some of you. Man, there's a few of you looking guilty right now. I don't think that happened. It probably didn't happen. Hey, you know what? Live a life. Come on. How many of you were juniors and maybe you went with Brother Dallas and Miss Maxine to camp? Anybody in here part of that crowd? Yep. All right. And you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about making your life matter. And by the way, spend the next day. Here comes the memory, preachers. There's no value in that. Then find one there is. That's worth it. That's worth remembering. That's worth recounting one more time. That's worth thinking about. By the way, that's worth meditating on. That's worth interrogating. That's worth asking questions about. That's worth asking God some questions about. That's worth asking myself some questions about. You know what? Maybe it's time to take that private meditation, and maybe it's time to get the kids around and say, I want to share something with you. Maybe it's time to, come on, some of you that need to write. Come on, some of you that need to write. All of those things are going to die with you, and grandkids and great-grandkids aren't going to know. Take some time to write down some musings. I don't know what God's going to do in your life or how he's going to direct you, and just whatever he says, do it. He's much better at helping you with application than I am. But you know what? Tomorrow's a kind of an important day. And I think there's some things that ought to be remembered. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you that my life has been touched by so many good people. I just picked one couple. Had some fun, told a funny story, remembered some sweet things. I'd sure love to be able to. When I went by there yesterday, I sure would have loved to be able to go up, knock on the door and have the two of them walk out, sit on the deck and talk some more. One of these days, Lord, woo! We're going to have eternity. Lord, the clock is what it is and time is what it is. But I could stand here. I could stand here for hours and just talk about precious people who lived precious lives that provided for this preacher some precious memories. Lord, I love to meditate upon them. I love to muse upon them. Well, they did that for me. Help me to do that. Help us to do that for others. Bless those that are going to hurt a little extra this Memorial Day. Grief is extra fresh. Just help them. Help them, Lord, to sort through the memories. Keep back the meditations, but not fail to memorialize the things that ought to be memorialized. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's all stand, our heads bowed and our eyes closed.